on Thursday. It's me, Jannie Schmanny, and that was a selection from our artist, indie artist, Tredge. It's called I Want More. And if you notice, you mentioned my name in there. That's right. We want more. You know, a lot of people, they really, really want more, you know, but they're not getting more, you know. It's a lot of different ways that you can achieve some of the things that you might want to achieve. But the very first thing that you must do is show up for yourself, okay? You must show up for yourself, all right? So showing up for yourself, it can look different to each person, and it might even change over time, but it's just basically another way of saying loving yourself, honoring yourself, and being your own biggest supporter. In other words, showing up for yourself is the ultimate form of self-care and self-advocation. It's about making your needs a priority, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual. Making time for self-care is important for our overall health, especially as we're still navigating through quarantine, a pandemic, and any other personal life changes. It's also important to note that unless you show up for yourself, you can't fully show up for anyone or anything else. You must show up for yourself first. You got to acknowledge where you are. The first step to showing up for yourself is simply acknowledging your present state with judgment. It's important to accept ourselves and our surroundings so we know what to change. This is helpful if you want to start showing up for yourself, but you don't know how to start. Give yourself full permission to be exactly who and where you are. Notice how you talk to yourself. We all talk to ourselves, you know. They say if you talk to yourself, long as you don't answer yourself. But that, I don't think that's, you know, that you're not mentally challenged or whatever, or it's no problem with it. But I don't think that's true. But it's important to be mindful on the way that you talk to yourself. When you start to notice negative self-talk and judgments, you know, you're judging yourself. Oh, I don't look good. Oh, if I wear that, people are going to think this. If I do this, you know what I mean? That's negative self-talk. You're talking yourself out of things and you're judging yourself, okay? Try to make it constructive. To combat your inner critic that tries to attack your self-worth, change the direction of your inner monologue with daily affirmations. So there's things that you can do on a daily to stop you from having these self-talks of judgment, being critical of yourself, not giving yourself gratitude. Create daily affirmations. You can create and repeat daily affirmations and, you know, your personal mantras throughout the day. It's a great way to give yourself a mental and emotional boost. It helps replace negative thoughts with strong, confident ones. Pick an affirmation that inspires and motivates you, or you can create one that makes you feel powerful or assured. These affirmations are a great place to start. So, you know what I mean? Some people, they choose to write it in a journal, diaries. Some people, you know, all different directions, yoga, you know, depending on what it is. But on, you know, like me, I have a to-do list, you know, so I'm always writing two to-do lists, not that I look at them all the time or remember to bring them when I need to do something. But on top of, you know, writing a bulleted list of to-dos in the morning and reflecting on the day before bed, Try writing down not only what you're grateful for, but also express appreciation for yourself. If a daily gratitude journal doesn't sound realistic for you, start with a weekly check-in. Check in on yourself. Check in on yourself. Set aside time for yourself. Between work, I like to set aside time for me. You know, it's important to take care of our inner minds, our souls, our bodies, and reserve time for things that, you know, that just simply make us happy. For me, I don't know. It looks like, you know, I might read something, cook. I like going on drives and meditation, you know, setting aside like an hour every morning before getting into my normal routine. So these are great relaxers, and it makes, you know, for the best midday retreat. You know, by the middle of the day, I'm good. Be mindful to support your immune system too, okay? Mindfulness can be translated to present moment awareness. Yes, your immune system. Meditating, even for 5 minutes every day, can help reset your mind, your mood, and perspective. Meditation and breathing exercises can help slow down your heart rate, clear your mind, and minimize the effects of stress and anxiety. Now, not many of y'all know that I do that, but I have high blood pressure, you know, so I don't want to, you know, I had a bout with anxiety one time. Pardon me, we may have a caller. Hold on, or it may be a wrong number. We go through these things at the podcast. Hold on. Comfort Level Podcast, you're live on air. How may I help you? Jenny Schmanny speaking.
Hi, Jenny and Rusty. How are you?
Hi, Rusty. How are you?
Living the dream, girlfriend. Living the dream. Living... I wasn't sure how I was to call in, so I'm hoping I'm doing
it. Well, I'm about to send you a link so that you can come in live.
Oh.
So that we can look at each other's face.
Audio or visual?
Visual.
Oh boy.
So it's going to come, right. It'll come through your email. There's nothing to download.
Nope, that's fine. I just wasn't prepared for visual. So you'll see me nakedless and authentic.
Oh, well, if you want to stay on the line too, that's also fine. So you're here now.
Whatever works for you.
You're here now. Well, I was just finishing up we were talking about showing up for yourself. And I was just finishing off telling the people, you know, just to be mindful and support your immune system, like, you know, reducing and minimizing the effects of stress and anxiety, you know.
Amen.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, meditation works. It doesn't work for everybody, but like do, you know, things like for taking time for yourself, take a bath, read, you know. Get off the internet and eat some healthy meals, you know.
That's
so
right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just something we're doing, you know, to show up for ourselves, you know, and, you know, hoping that we could hear, you know, some of other people's self-care practices today. But today we also like to discuss if our lives are that we live by design. So on the line, guests, I'd like to welcome our guest featured guest for today, Rusty McDonald. She's a multi-book author, speaker, and full-time single mom. Are you still living on the coast of Florida?
I do, and we just had a beautiful rainstorm, and I'm so excited. I opened up all the windows, and the humidity is
going to
go away, and all the different green
more humidity,
and my face is melting.
Wow. Well, that's good, because we're waiting for heat up here in New Jersey.
Oh, I will send it to you, my friend. I will send it to you in the FedEx envelope. You'll get it tomorrow.
And I'll accept it. I'll be waiting at the postal, at the mailbox. I can't stand it. Yeah. So you say you're a single mom. How many children, Rusty?
I have one amazing daughter. She is my favorite person on the planet.
Yes.
She's a smart, funny, got it together, 16-year-old girl who just started driving on her own, which, of course, I have more gray hair than I did.
Oh, wow.
And she's got it together, you know. She's not like a typical 16-year-old. She just is phenomenally. She knows what she wants. She's driven to get it, and she's gonna be a paver. She's gonna make some pavers and tasks, and she'll break some things. I think. You know what I mean?
Wonderful, wonderful. I happen to have three of those.
Yeah.
So they're doing some amazing things too. You know, my children actually work in finance, fitness, and healthcare. So
nice.
Yeah. So, you know, they take care of others all the time.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, so tell the world, our viewers at least, we're hoping that the world watches us, but you're known for sharing stories of abuse, but that your inspiration shows us how to find gratitude even when it's dark.
Amen. Yeah, it's, I think that the largest lesson that I've learned, and I really hone in on, is the person I needed to be when things were darkest, or the person that I needed to show up in my life, in my mind, when things were really bad, was never there. And so I wake up every morning with gratitude that I will do my best to be that person to show up for that person who needs me. And I think that's a very authentic and real place to come from. And it's extremely important to think about and chew on what that actually means. You know, you wanted at some point in your life somebody to show up for you.
Yes.
Well, you've got that time now. You get to be that person. You know what that person is looking for. You know what that person needs, even though you don't even know who that person might be. So I have made my life a quest, I guess, in trying to show up to be the very best version of me, because I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what's going to happen in 20 minutes.
Right.
I'd like to have plans, and I'd like to think that things are going to go a certain way, but you and I both know we get plot twists all day. God just throws those plot twists at you. It's like, oh, you're going to be fine. You're going to stay here. Let's give you a flat tire. What are you going to do now? And so you have to navigate life in the best way that you can. And showing up to be the best version of yourself, I think, helps other people and inspires other people to start working on their own personal.
Yeah, and we're already sure that you can't, you know, help anybody else unless you help yourself first. You understand what I'm saying? That you're not really as good for someone if you don't have your stuff together. You know what I mean? I mean, like, there's...
If you don't have your stuff together and you're helping other people, that becomes a toxic relationship of codependency.
Toxic.
Because you're both coming from a needy, wounded place versus...
Yeah. Right.
You help the other person stand up and straighten up, and we all do it. So it's not a right or wrong. And that's what I really try to emphasize on my radio show and on my YouTube channel and my writing. There is no right or wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
Life,
so there's nothing.
And it's to be lived through experience. Every single bit of our day is surrounded by the emotions that we have at that moment. We are sad, we are happy, we are angry, we're pissed off, we're frustrated, we're whatever. And that's living in through experience. It's not shiny things, it's not faster cars, it's not cool suits, it's not the best job or job title. It's experience. How do you love? How do you want to be loved? How do you feeling somebody hugs you, does that feel good? These are the moments that are important in our life existence because we don't know how much sand we have in our hourglass. And so prospectively, walking into your day and into your community with a sense of relief that you don't have to have the shiny things and the fast car and the big title, but you do have to live. I think that is a very different perspective and a very different way of living.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to live. So, I mean, you're going to have to adjust with life. Do you feel as though that life is already designed?
I love, somebody actually made that, and I've kept it because I absolutely love it. And I think the intention behind, are you living the life by design, or is this life by design? I don't believe it's something that we individually construct. I believe it's universal, or God, or heavenly.
Absolutely, I
agree. I think that you don't know what you don't know until you know. I've learned that. And I've also learned that hindsight is 2020, right? We see perfectly our past, but we can't see perfectly our future.
Right.
So maybe our life is by design, and we're just learning how to live it.
Well, yeah, I kind of think like that, too.
Make it sound.
There's definitely a blueprint for us, but what I kind of think is if we get more in tune to ourselves, that's going to lead us into the right direction. You know, into the light.
Exactly.
Into the light.
A lot of that has to do with setting your priorities.
Yes, priorities.
What it is that you really want out of this life. And I think the last couple of years with the political divisiveness and the war and all of the, you know, the lockdowns and the confusion about what lockdown means and the confusion about vaccines, all that stuff has really shaken the core of our human existence. It's really said, okay, you need to look at this. How are you being responsible to yourself and your body, whatever that means? Not my place to judge.
Right.
How are you being responsible to yourself and your community? And how are you showing up in your everyday? Are you happy showing up like this? Are you happy being frustrated, agitated, miserable, and having an hour and a half commute? Do you think that you can do things differently? And so a lot of those questions have been, I think, a pivotal marketing piece when it comes to job and career exploration. I hear often that people just don't want to work. And I don't believe that to be true. Of course, there are some people who don't want to work, and girl, you and I both know a lazy Saturday or a lazy Monday, I'm down. I am down to give up jobs. That's not really realistic. And so I think there's a small portion of society that really doesn't want to work on a regular basis.
Sure.
But I also think the majority of our struggle career-wise right now at this time is based off of resetting our priorities. I've interviewed people all over the world who, for the first time, had dinner with their family and went on the bike ride or a walk after dinner with their kids. And they haven't done that at all in their children's entire existence unless they were on vacation.
Yes,
so
exactly.
That time period, this last couple of years, yes, has been confusing, yes, has been divisive, yes, has been agitating. But it's also allowed us the opportunity to pause, and reset.
Yes. I don't think that people are really pressing the metal, you know, the pedal to the metal on reset, though. You know, we here on my podcast, we got a bunch of different podcasts here, but
right
here on a Comfort Level podcast, we decided that we would try to find some empathy in the world, you know what I mean? And just stick to that and also redesign and, you know, help ourselves in all these aspects. So that's what we've been doing here. It's actually a community center. You know, so.
Yeah, and I was excited because I always show up in June and I'm like, oh, let's do this in June. So I'll typically be there. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, well, we have fun in here. We're always eating snacks. I got a big old Easter basket in here now. I'm ready to dive into it. Yeah, but we just want to reach out to the community and bring some awareness. We do a lot of talk on TBI, which is traumatic brain injury versus trauma care, because we feel as though, you know, it's more than being in an accident and having your head bashed in or something like that, a head injury.
Right.
The environmental trauma has been overwhelming in the last couple of years, you know, and even you, Rusty, we've all came up with environmental trauma, you know, so we're just trying to get our mindsets together, you know, celebrate ourselves and, you know, value our worth and live.
It's not always easy, is it? It's
no,
not
it's
always
not.
Easy to wipe people's off and forgive, because
how is it easy?
You have to have some forgiveness.
How's it easy when you find out a lot about yourself and you say, oh, I'm like that? And then you say, yeah, I am. When you stand back and you look at yourself and you say, yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's a lot of breakthroughs that I had just for myself, just by interviewing guests such as yourself, you know what I mean? And getting your point of view and stuff like that. You guys have written books and things like that. And you have people that's listening to you. You know what I mean? And if, like, our motto is, you know, save one young life. I'm sure you saved many.
It's very humbling, actually. I think this kind of work comes from a place of love and compassion, and you come from a place of hurt, because you know what it feels like. You know what hurt means. You understand to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do this kind of work, it's really a place where you want to show up and show up in a way that's loving and kind and compassionate. And you don't really realize the impact you have until after the fact. And yeah, I've had some fears over people who have been impacted in a very positive way, and I'm grateful. And it inspires me to continue to do my work, because it's working.
Even if it's
one person at a time, one step at a time, you know, this is not a race.
Right. It's working.
It's working. So
it's working.
I feel very blessed to be in the position that I'm in to be able to do that. And yeah. I think when I get to share my story on podcasts like yours, I feel very blessed to do that as well, because now you and I get to tag team and partner in a conversation that will hopefully enlighten, inspire, and maybe even agitate somebody enough where they will start looking at changes, will start looking at ways to live healthier and better lives. And they'll start looking at changing their toxic ways and their toxic relationship. And so you and I get to team up tonight and have that conversation, and that's really cool.
Yeah, this is good. I'm glad that you reached out and we are able to, you know, have this chat, because there's been times that, okay, let me put it this way, and now I'm going to agitate somebody, probably. I'm good for it. Okay, so if you're agitated, now's your time to get agitated here at WCMD, the couple of podcasts. The Black culture, okay? This pride thing, y'all got to put it down, okay? Y'all don't like to talk about nothing. We, because I'm Black. We do not like to talk about things. Oh, man. Like, we have such a pride that we can't admit to sometimes being wrong, sometimes just being overbearing, overwhelming the people. You know, our culture is a little bit different, and we don't step back for the ones that haven't experienced the culture as much, put it that way. So that's, you know, that's kind of what, you know, we need to do is, you know, get these point of views from one another, talk to people that from different races, and just, you know, network and just see how people are, so people can stop being afraid of us. Number one, our police officers are afraid of us. As far as just, you know what I mean? And that has to stop, because we're not scary. We're just darker, I guess. I don't know. Me, I'm the type of person that have never seen it. I've never judged anybody by their cover or whatever. You know, I can tell whether I like you when you first open your mouth. You know, and then at that point, I'm still going to give you a chance. You know,
I think it's very hard to look at. I think, and I know you've listened to my podcast before, so you know that if I ever become president, I'm going to make it mandatory that everybody travels, because of
yes.
experience and what you don't know until you know.
Yes.
And I think a lot of racism and sexism and ism would go away if we could actually sit down and have an adult conversation with each other and go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's a different perspective. Oh, shit.
Yes, that's what it always yeah. comes yeah. down to.
So, but I think we're in a place where we are magnificently dysfunctional on intent. I think it's purposeful to continue the divisiveness, and I think it's purposeful to keep agitating an old story. And whether that's racism, sexism, you know, genderism, and, you know, I live in Florida, so obviously you've read the headlines, our governor is very ism-friendly. But we tend to stay within what we know and believe only what we know. We don't step outside of that box because we're afraid of learning something that might actually go against the grain of what we grew up with or what we understood in our community. And it's really fascinating to look at the human sociological perspective in regards to what makes an individual smarter, brighter, happier, more fundamentally, you know, participatory in their communities, and it's truly based on how much you travel, how much do you get out of your own community, how much do you get out of that own chatterbox. I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that you should leave your community, but no. If you take a few weeks off and go to China or yes. Thailand or Brazil or somewhere different than whatever your community is based on, you're going to have a very different perspective. You're going to understand flavors and tastes and colors and cultures and ideologies different than mm-hmm. what you would learn in your small little town or city that you've never left the, you know, three blocks of or whatever the scenario is.
Exactly. And I say it all the time. They don't give themselves a chance.
I think from my perspective as a white woman, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody will tell me, but I think, unfortunately, with the African American community, it has always been on guard, always been defensive, always been scared, and has always had to put up a front of protection mm-hmm. because the entire slavery involvement required fight or flight or defense or trauma reaction. And I think we stir up that narrative by not educating our children and not educating people in our community that you're just as sweet and wonderful as, you know, Mama Mabel over there, who's, you know, 90% Polish or whatever. And we don't have those honest conversations about why our communities of race, gender, or sexuality differences struggle so much with suicide and struggle so much with anger and struggle so much with temperaments and depression and drug abuse and all of that, because we're not real in our conversation. If you don't understand why African Americans braided their hair in slavery, well, let's have that conversation. Those were actually maps. Those were stories that they could share to help other African Americans get free from their slaves. Nobody knows that. They just think cornrows are cornrows. Well,
they simply braided it. They simply braided it because it was so coarse and nappy.
But again, you know, even with this whole thing that happened at the Grammys or the Oscars or whatever.
Oscars. Wow.
All that nonsense. You know, there's really a stigma behind women's hair and or lack thereof. Or growth, or whatever. And it's always been an issue. It's always been something that certain folks in certain groups will stir up to make certain groups, whether they're Native American or African American or, you know, Pacific Islanders, make them feel less worthy because there's racist tropes that go behind that. And that's where we have to have the conversation as to why is your hair longer?
Why is your hair shorter?
Why do you
do
this? Why do you do that? And have an
open
conversation. Because that'll end and flush out the truth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense.
And I think at this point, socially, we're starting to have those conversations and we're starting to have those understandings. And yeah, it's good to screw people up. That we need to have those conversations and we need to be honest about our perspectives, because mom and dad told me my whole 46 years of life that X, Y, and Z was the reason why this person looks at me funny. Maybe they're just looking funny because they're preoccupied. Maybe they're looking funny because they're in a different world. We don't know what's going on in another person's mind.
Exactly. Maybe they just...
We're sure to be protective and jump down somebody if we feel like they're hurting us. And if we grow up in an environment where we're constantly feeling hurt and constantly having to worry, then we're going to always be on the defense.
Always.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, because you're not seeing how people are living in peace, period. You know, you're just not seeing it because of the environment that you're around. It's a borrowed persona. Simple as that. You borrow from other people because it rubs off on you. You grew up learning that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was a lot of things that our grandparents and our parents didn't tell us because they thought it was shameful to speak that to a child, you know, or a young adult. That's why we weren't learning things. You know? My mother didn't drop down and tell me the birds and bees.
Learning in such a way that they're attempting to prohibit or slanderize a different ideology. And I'm not saying that any ideology, one way or another, is right or wrong. I'm just saying it's nice to have a whole bunch of glasses of half full, versus one half full glass and not knowing where you're going to fill up the rest of the cup.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you were to sit back and educate yourself on different perspectives, whether you agree with them or not, or whether they make you uncomfortable, or they make you fall in love, or I think it's very important to understand the different viewpoints. And we used to be a plan of society where we would have gentle conversations on difference. And anything derogatory or negative would be behind closed door in your personal space.
Exactly.
However, now people are shooting each other for being different. And
yes.
It's just mind-boggling that that's even an equation. I look at the beauty of nature, and I look at the diverse species that we have that's living. I mean, we've got pine trees, oak trees, sycamore trees, we've got all kinds of fish, we got fish for days. You know, we got worms for days and beetles and all kinds of different living things.
And then the next person has never thought of that.
Yeah, and we look at
or an appreciation for
certain
nature.
Individuals or groups. Look at, it's only one way. You have to be white and blue eyes and perfect wife and submissive and that, you know.
Yeah.
And I just kind of scratched my head saying, well, if God wanted us all to be pine trees, well, that's all we would have is pine trees.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly.
We got vines and ivies and poison ivies and snakes and all kinds of critters today. The God wanted us to have diversity.
And we got Bridgerton. Have you watched it?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said, and we have Bridgerton.
I have not seen that. My daughter absolutely loves it. Oh, I learned a lot, so I don't have to watch a lot of things on TV, but that's the next time I look this summer when I have a little bit of downtime.
Oh, Rusty, you have to. But you're going to have to watch the first. You're going to have to watch the first season all, though, first.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to catch up, it's great. Like, there's, you know, even though I'll skim over it, even though it was all about, you know, them setting up brides for husbands and stuff like that in this colonial day, those women, they wanted love. So that's what it's all about, you know, and all the races and everything is mixed, and there's not one racial thing in there. Not one. It's
no, and I don't think, honestly, that there ever was, unless it was appealing to a force that wanted to have the upper hand. And I think that's what racism is always been about, or sexism or gender, gender issues, is who wants to have the upper hand.
Right.
Well, in this situation, I have enough money to have the upper hand and take over this space, this territory, this country, this land, this farm, whatever it was. Right. And this is the tool that I'm going to utilize because fear is the most widely accepted tool to garner some form of domination. And we've done that for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And we've done it all the way from caveman times where we were chased by saber-toothed tigers. And the way we survived is by living in fear.
But it really feels like it's a breakthrough movie. It's, you know... It shows how, you know, the women broke through, and they also have a author on there. So you gotta see all the stuff that she's writing. Like, she's like the newsletter lady or the newspaper lady. So, and it's exciting because she's the gossip columnist, put it that way, the gossip columnist. And it's a good show. I think you would enjoy it. You know, because it's a whole lot of different family structures and things like that. I don't want to give everything away. I don't want to give it away. So I think you would enjoy the movie.
But yeah, my daughter says I would.
Yeah, I'm glad she's watching it. You know what I mean? Because it's really going to help her to find a husband. She does, because she's going to know what she wants. I mean, we don't need have to have movies, I'm sure. She has to be great and very thorough because she has a mom like you.
Right.
So, and the movie is positive.
She's honored for her free will.
Mm-hmm. The movie is positive for women. So. She'll be glued to the TV. Like, I had to binge watch it. So I stayed. I was sick, actually, when I was watching it. I had, like, a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I binge watched it for, like, 2 days while I was sweating it out. That was really nice. You know? But I'm glad that you could... bring some of these points to the attention and awareness of our community, because we definitely got to be more aware of our surroundings. And like you said, you know, a lot of people, if they would just travel and check out some of the customs of other people, I'm not saying go to Taco Bell. I'm funny. I think I'm funny. I'm no Chris Rock.
But I'm to understand Mexican culture.
It's not even close.
Not even
It's not even close. You know what I mean? So me included, I need to get out and travel some more places, you know. Hello? Oh, I think we got disconnected. Hold on 1 second. Janny Schmanny, comfortable.
Hi, I was adjusting my headset and I hung up. Sorry.
That's okay. Once it was only a second. So I was saying, myself included, need to take a few trips and check out the culture and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, think about doing a little piece on travel.
Oh, girl, if you ever want to do that, you call me. Let me know I purposely, intentionally travel as much as I can. And it's not about race. It's not about color. It's about education and it's about community. And okay. That's the part that we don't talk about. Because you can go to some of the poorest towns in this country and the race will surprise you, some people. But the education comes from word of mouth. It comes from their community. And when you're repeating the same quote-unquote facts within your community, and the community believes all the same things, and they've never been outside of their community, you kind of go, this is like Stephen King wrote a bazillion books. creepy. Wow. That's not the way the world works. It really isn't like that. And so traveling outside of your state, traveling to a different state, traveling to a place you never thought you'd ever go.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. It's really a huge eye opener, and it gives a perspective that you can't get with conversation. You have to physically taste, touch, smell, feel, see. You have a better viewpoint.
Hands on.
And it's just getting outside of that whole that community. Just long enough so that you can see something different. And quite frankly, in New Jersey, you've got tons of suburbs and places within a 4-hour drive from you.
Oh, yeah.
That can expose you to such beauty. You know, just try the town alone is absolutely gorgeous.
We're in Philly.
Brooklyn. Love Brooklyn. And,
Manhattan.
There's just so much to explore. Right in your area, unlike some places that don't have the diversity that you have.
Yes. Well, you know, we're not, have you been here all your life? You're like, yeah. Because you kind of want to go somewhere else to see how. But we do. New Jersey is known, you know, for it. Beautiful gardens and things like that, and the beaches.
The point is, if you were to really set your mind to opening up your understanding of what living beings are, whether that's trees, plants, fish, humans, animals, bacteria, fungi, whatever it is that you want to explore as living, it is accessible and it is affordable, because even in New Jersey, you can take a bus from one side of city to the other. It's so reasonable, even with these gas prices. So it's about what you want. It's about how you want to get there, and it's about the effort you're willing to put in to understanding the world as a living creature.
So it's scary to say everything is a part of life. So I mean, that you said, and you say, you know, you hear the scientists saying, this animal, we only have so many of a species left, and they're trying to preserve the species, and, you know, by mating animals and things like that. This is why, because if we don't treat it right, we perish.
Well, and I just think that if you step outside of that comfort zone and you allow another opinion or another thought to cross your noggin, then you go, oh, I never knew about this creature. I never knew about, you know, the 10,000 leagues under the sea and how everything, you know, all the creatures down there, translucent, and they use photosynthesis to mate. What? Photosynthesis? You know, 2,000 leagues under the sea? What? How does that happen? Well, find out. It's exciting. It's really cool stuff. There's huge animals way down the bottom of the sea and they get no sunlight at all. Yeah. How does this happen? Yeah. What are they doing? So there's a lot of things to be excited about. It's what you're willing to do to find that excitement. And it's not about putting anybody down or putting anybody out. It's, you're in charge of your own ship. You're the driver.
Right.
If you want to be narrow-minded and a bigot and racist and a bigot and all those things, then you can be. Nobody's stopping you.
You just gotta
be part of a more compassionate society that is more Jesus friendly, be biblical, then you're gonna go out and you're gonna, you know, help the homeless, and you're gonna go out and talk to people and be a part of a community that's different than yours. And you know, we're just in this really wild place where some people are set ho and they're not going to change their beliefs and believe it one way. And other people want to garner titles by proclaiming that they believe that way.
Right.
And then other people who are like, nope, screw this. I'm changing my whole course of life. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to build a tiny house. I'm going to travel the country.
Yeah.
Not want to. All three subsets to do that. What do you want to do as an individual? That's what you have to chew on and think about.
That's what you got to do. You got to show up for yourself. You got to show up for yourself. You got to know what you want, what makes you happy. You know what I mean? Not, you know, I mean, there can be destructive stuff, but when you move in the direction of self-care and caring about others, you know, you like I said earlier, you try and get yourself together so that you can care for others. You know, that may not be your goal to care for others or whatever, but it's certainly taking care of yourself is the first step of caring for anything, of just caring, period. You know, you can't just let go of everything.
But I think that if you were to step back and look and evaluate your situation, you'll realize that in becoming authentic within yourself, becoming who you really are, who you've always wanted to be, who you know you are, you know, I'm quirky as that joke. I'm a little chubby around the middle. I am 46 and I hate my smile. That's who I am. For the moment.
I'm about to say.
And I'm okay with that. But
I'm about to say.
There's no right or wrong with this. It's going, okay, this is who I am. This is what I am. And these are the tools that I've been blessed with. My quirkiness can be a tool, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And it can also be an instrument. ultimately, this is just who I am. And when you get to a place where you're really good with who you are and you set your boundaries and you remove the toxicity from your life, because we all have it, the world is a very different place. You come from a different place, your desires are different, your interests are different, and you really look at the way, it's like a toddler trying to walk. Cutest thing ever when you watch them try to walk, right? And they fall and they get mad and then they get back up and they try again. But they don't know what they're doing. They're trying to figure it out.
Right.
And honestly, Danny, you and I don't know what we're doing, but we're trying to figure it out. And every time we fall, we get better at getting up. We're not doing it right. We're not doing it wrong. We're just getting better at figuring it out. And that's something that I wish more people would embrace, is that there is no right or wrong, there's no perfect anything. We are delightfully flawed creatures, that are just trying to figure it out and do the best that we can do with what we've got.
Yeah, that's how I've always seen it. You know what I mean? And seen the work, but what happens when you start, you know, you start getting better, that you think you're getting better or whatever, and then things been in your life that you just were not there anymore. You know what I mean? Maybe you had to let go of something.
Well, that's why I'm a huge proponent to the understanding that we're sacks of water. That's all we are. You and I are just sacks of water. We're not brown, we're not white, we're not purple, we're not indented. We're just sacks of water. And we currently share this molten lava rock that's floating in space to wherever, because we really don't know. And we don't have a steering wheel. Yet we try to control every aspect of our lives and every aspect of our children's lives and every aspect of our partner's lives. And it's like, why? That's a lot of energy when you really don't know. And you don't have a steering wheel, and we're on a big rock, and we're just a bag of water.
They got me looking at the telephone, Rusty. You got me looking at the telephone. It actually makes sense. Yeah.
We make things bigger than they are.
Bigger than
what
they
are. We expect things from a place where fear is the derivative. So we want the house. We want the good house. We want the shiny car. We want the good title. But nobody talks about the expense. The personal, emotional, mental, spiritual expense to get those things. Nobody really talks about the honesty and integrity that you have to give up to have those things, to get to be. And some people don't want to play that game anymore. Some people just want to, you know, have some chickens and grow their vegetables and live on a little farm and be happy.
Right.
Not being in the corporate manifesto that we've designed to show that we are better than somebody else or that we've made it in this world. And when we have those conversations, those authentic conversations about what it is to actually make it in this world, perspective is 9/10 of the rule, right?
Yes.
And so when you get to a place like you and I have gotten to, where it's about community, and it's about loving, it's about caring, it's about doing for others. Our world is very enriched on a very different level. And then you have individuals who, you know, they have a full bank account, and they don't worry about their bills, and they have a perfect life, and blah, 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 blah. Their world is very happy, and they're very happy in that space. Where are they? And so that's where perspective comes in. We generate a narrative to fulfill a fear. And when we get over the fact that fear doesn't exist, that narrative doesn't exist, so those things they're not requirements anymore, or obligations, or things to strive for. We go into a different direction. Our roots branch out differently, and we seek different sources of enlightenment and fulfillment. But unfortunately, with the way we've developed society and our culture, and that's globally, that's not just American. We have really put a lot of onus on being a doctor, a lawyer, a multimillionaire, a first person to ship a penis to Mars. You know, it's just bizarre kinds of requirements to be a functional, happy, satisfied, living human being on the planet, when quite frankly, just hugging your kid and doing something nice for your neighbor is probably more satisfying than being a multimillionaire. I've never been one, so I can't honestly say.
I don't know how we can tell. I don't know. I think, I don't know, we might take a chance to try it out if we had to.
I ask that every day. I was like, you know, we want to burst me with something, sleeper, we need with a Powerball.
You can always come back. You can always come back. You can always come back to, we're not going to call it poor, poor. We're going to say we can always come back to midlife, Rusty. After we try it out, we can always come back.
Amen.
That is it. Yeah. You know, if I don't like it, I'm just give everything else left out that I got. I'll probably do it in the beginning anyway. Charity. So, you know, I probably won't even have that much. I never wanted a lot of money. Never. I don't know why I should, but I never wanted to really like be rich. You know, I just comfortable is fine.
You're breaking it, sweetheart. I'm having a hard time following
what you're saying. No, I'm sorry. I say I never wanted to be rich, but comfortable is fine.
Well, and again, you know, I've interviewed people who are homeless.
Yes.
They're very comfortable. They're comfortable because they don't have the obligation to pay $2,000 in rent, and they don't have the obligation for homeowners insurance and this and that, and the box that screams at them, and all the trauma that can come from that life.
Yeah.
And it's all based on perspective. It's all based on what you want, what you're willing to do, and how you're willing to live. And I would never, ever, ever think poorly of a poor person, nor would I think poorly of a rich person.
No, no.
I think it's where you are for driving your car. I'm not. I'm just vicariously sitting back watching you either crash and burn or live the life of your dream.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just different. They have a need, you know. Mm-hmm. They just have different needs. They have a need, you know. Mm-hmm. I would think that a person eventually would eventually, I think they do, and a lot of the homeless people get help, you know, and there is a small group of few that would rather live that way, you know, because it's stress-free.
Well, I think it's a different kind of stress.
Different.
So,
yeah.
Being homeless myself, I find that, you know, just doing basic things like going to the bathroom or taking showers were very difficult and stressed me out. However, having to go and beg for assistance when 4,000 people are literally in line in front of you begging for state assistance.
Right.
That's a different kind of stress.
Yeah.
And there are organizations that claim to provide assistance, but they actually put you down in the process. They belittle you, they demean you, and they make you feel like a piece of shit. And which I've personally experienced. And so you don't want to go back. And that intention that you don't go back allows them to have more funding to help somebody who's going to put up with being put down and kind of bullied because they're in that situation.
Wow.
So I'm careful to assume that somebody really wants to be in that situation. I understand from my perspective that maybe there's a lesser of two evils when it comes to trying to survive in a world that isn't always nice.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, so, you know, their struggles could be made way, way, way more intense than ours or than we realize.
Right.
You know, so diversity is everywhere. It's everywhere. You know.
I didn't make such a country. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you have to see how other countries are living and stuff because yeah, I have a gentleman that's coming on from Canada, and he's going to talk about medical and stuff in Canada. You know, now everything that I've read, you know, in Canada, it's all different. Like, they're not worrying about the medical issues and stuff like that with the insurances and stuff?
Well, I don't think that's true. I actually have some friends in Canada. I love Canada. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. The provinces are extraordinary. But, you know, they do have universal health care, which is quite phenomenal. Most countries that are educated and financially secure do. Americans have to fight about something. They're, like, angry where they
are. Yeah, we have.
But in Canada, as far as I understand, the complex situation with universal health care is that if you have a specialty need, you have to wait months and 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 months to see a specialist.
Oh, wow.
And whereas here in America, if you have a bigger dollar, you can see a specialist right away.
Yeah,
true. Doesn't mean you're going to be treated fairly. You're treated by your dollar.
Right.
But universal health care, like any other human endeavor, has its ups and its downs. Do I think that we should... I'm going to be controversial. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So my largest pet peeve with the American thinking or political spectrum is they are, there's a certain group that is taking women's rights away for their bodies because they believe that abortion is killing a child or hurting a child or whatever. And I understand that and I get it, but the perspective is this is the same group that refuses to give universal health care. So in a sense, in a huge sense, your life is a bidding war as to who's going to take you because you don't have enough money to live through cancer, autoimmune disease, leukemia, whatever it is you have to spend an exorbitant amount of money medically to determine that you have, then to try to live a life.
Wow.
And so I think with universal health care, they look at life as a requirement. Everybody should be treated within fairness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in America, it's a pivoted and divisive construct where if you're out of the body, you have to pay exorbitant prices to live and survive. And if you're in the body, we're going to make room to make sure you get out of the body.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
And so it's frustrating when you're looking at, you know, 90-year-olds who are eating cat food because they can't afford the diabetes medicine, because our construct of health is based monetarily versus being a living human being who has the right to live.
Exactly.
And then they have the conversation and the fight that if you're a fetus, you have a right to live, but if you're not a fetus, you don't have that right. And so this
does that make any sense? Yeah, that's real.
American. But when it comes to universal health care, the majority of complaints that I've ever heard across the globe was that you just have to wait months and months and months for a specialist. And I get that. Their taxes are higher. I respect that. I would love to have universal health care in America because I don't believe any life should be paid for or purchased.
Right.
But we're not there yet.
And now I'll say it's a little, we're a long way from it.
I don't know. I'm hoping to see it before I die.
I don't know. How close do you think we are?
Huh?
I say, how close do you think we are to that?
15 years. I'm thinking that we're going to be more universal about 10 to 15 years. There's no choice. You can't have one argument without the other, and life is life. If you're going to preach that 50 in the womb is life, well, 97 years of age is also life. So we need to respect life as life.
Yeah, you gotta respect.
Not have a one-sided conversation about it.
Yeah.
And I believe that life is life. And whether you're 90, 60, 40, cancer, tumor, whatever, you deserve to live.
Yeah, be taken and care of.
That's that.
That's it.
We make it happen. We protect you the best that we can. Or maybe that's just the mama in me.
No, it's not just the mama in you. It should be a golden rule.
I thought it was in the Bible. But,
yeah, we thought it was in the Bible.
Huh?
Yeah, we thought it was. Do you know what I mean? But politically, you know, like, we can't pay for protection. We're not getting it. We're not going to get it. Yeah.
No, and it's really fascinating how we dilute the ideology of capitalism and we circumvent what socialism actually means. And then we highlight religious supplication. And yet we don't actually come to the fundamental basis that you're alive. You deserve to be fed, sheltered, and healed. And let's provide those basics. Instead, it becomes a political divisive scheme based off of whatever community you lived from and whatever fear-based presentation was given to you as a child. And I scratch my head going, that's not the way the world works. Where is it?
Well, it's not supposed to be, but what do we say to that? It's not supposed to be. It's happening.
But then nobody has an answer as to how to correct that. And it's really fascinating to watch.
It's fascinating to watch, but it's destructive, man. You know what I mean? It's actually destructive. I say that a lot of it is destructive to the human race because no wonder we're confused.
But I think that in the 1930s, 1940s, we actually designed an ideology that, and it was quite honestly, if you were to look at slavery as a whole thing, not just a race thing in America, we constructed an ideology some time ago where the less you know, the harder you work, and the more I profit from that. Mm-hmm. So whether it's the Grecian times and taking away women's rights to be professors versus Victorian era where women didn't even have a rent or mortgage or checking account until what, 1938, I think? We designed and constructed this ideology of power and dominance, whatever that means throughout thousands of years of human existence. And it surfaces over and over and over and over again because somehow, somewhere, we've raised our children, we've raised our communities to believe something fearful if somebody has something more than you.
Wow.
And whether that's an extra loaf of bread or the gift of bearing children or, I don't know, the coolest mustache in the mustache party, I don't know.
Yeah, I could have 20 kids and you have none.
Fear that somebody has more than you do, so you have to work harder and be more benevolent to your cause. You have more than they. And wow. Very bizarre to be in 2022 and so watch that type of thing transpires when during the caveman times, that's absolutely 100% survival. That's fight or flight. You gotta save the tiger, you got three chicks, it's only you, you gotta make the babies that more. Like, I get it. But 2022 versus 120, they were talking about actually education. Influence that we choose not to have, and we choose to put people in place in our government to continue to dumb down our education system so that we don't have a voice and we don't have
excitement of going, hey, maybe we can do it this way.
Right.
Because it's better to have worker bees making the honey, and we just need a fat mama bee while everybody else is doing the work.
So yeah, you just made me think of my mom.
I think that's a nutshell for pretty much every aspect of human question, even when it comes to universal health care. It's like, who's really copying off of my cancer? Who's copying off my diabetes? Who's copying off my miscarriage? Who's copying off of... And when you look at things that way, you scratch your head going, oh,
wow,
my ceiling for my contact is $3.99 for 2 liters. But if I go to the hospital and have the same ceiling, that's $499. Who's profiting off my pain?
Right. They're profiting off your pain. Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds like another topic.
Yeah. it's interesting to watch, right? If you were to sit back and just really watch what happens and why people choose to do what they do. It's heartbreaking. You know, there are parents out there that literally will do murder-suicide because their child is deathly ill and they can't afford the child's medication, but they can't afford to live without their child, and they can't afford to... And you're like, no, that should not be a choice.
Right.
It's what a right to life. Community, right? Huh.
Yeah, but now it's just, you know, people are choosing. People can't even get whole doses of their medication. You know, they're cutting their doses in half and stuff because they can't afford different things. You know,
I have severe endometriosis, so I'm in chronic pain. And I was told the other day when I went into my checkup, oh, yes, you can have one of two things. You can have a full hysterectomy at my age, that's probably appropriate. Or you can spend $1,000 a month for this medication that will put you in like a menopause kind of state for 2 years. But it's $1,000 a month.
Okay, so what's the purpose of not having the hysterectomy? I mean, I know it's a choice.
I think the real question is, who's benefiting off my pain? We know what the purpose is. The purpose is that pharmaceutical company designed a product probably 20 or 30 years ago that happens to have a side effect to reduce the endometriosis and put you in a very menopausal state. But they know that they can charge a premium,
mm-hmm,
and get it. And so all of their investors and stockholders will make a huge amount of money for me not wanting to stay in pain anymore.
So are you in the process of making a choice for that?
Literally. Two days ago is when I was given that choice, and I'm scratching my head going, do I remove my organ, or do I pay $1,000 a month not stay in pain, or do I just remain in pain?
I'm gonna tell you like this from experience, okay? I had a hysterectomy. Okay?
Yeah.
Put me in a menopausal state that I'm still in right now. I had that hysterectomy when I was about 23 years old. I'm now 62.
Yeah.
I'm now 62. Okay, so you can take medicine if you want to put you in a menopausal state. If they snatch your stuff out, you're still going to be in a menopausal state, and they have to take medicine to stop being in the menopausal state. So you can't win for losing. You can't win for losing. I have the hot flashes once in a while. I don't always have them, but...
No, I don't have it. You know, I'm 26 young, and, you know, I genuinely have had no issues other than have endometriosis.
I'll let you know this. I'll let you know this.
But to be told those my two choices, I'm kind of scratching my head going, no, there's no follow-up game.
Well, see, the thing with me is if I, in the beginning, you know, I started getting cysts, the ovary and the tube, they took that out first. But then more cysts popped up. He said, you got so many cysts, we can't even count them. Okay? And precancerous, they, everything, just go with everything. You know what I mean? Which probably saved my life. You know, I can't say whether or not I was going to jump into anything other than that, you know. But then my sister, 3 years ago, my sister died from carcinoma, sarcoma, okay, endometrial cancer. But they didn't catch hers.
That's really powerful. I was 14 after a bad rape with HPV, which has given me precancer. Like, I'm 46 years old, but it's been a long time that that's been with us. And, you know, we don't know. We don't know the full extent of what could be. And it's terrifying to say, is this the right choice to take all my organs out, or is this the wrong choice? Because we really don't know what the end result is for the individual.
No, but I can say this, with those organs out, there was really nothing really different other than, you know, really the having a lack of estrogen, you know, so. And I did take the hormone replacement therapy for a while, but I'm not a person that want to keep taking pills and stuff like that or whatever. So
right.
I just decided to deal with it, you know, cause really like the hot flash of the last few moments and whatever, get over it. You know, I'm like, you know, well, the difference is that I just had one. Okay. I just had a hot flash right here on the air. I'm looking at myself, wiping the sweat off
my
forehead. Yeah, not really bad, you know what I mean? But, you know, I just got a little bit of perspiration on my nose, and I just wiped, you know, just that's it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know why it came. I guess since we were talking about it, it came to get excited me or whatever. I don't know, but they come, they usually come when you relax, okay? If you had like a few minutes or maybe an hour or two or all day of exertion, when you lay down or you stop and you sit or you get in your car to drive and you sit and you relax, that's when you're going to have that hot flash. That's what
you're telling me.
You go to bed.
I don't know what that means.
You go to bed at night, oh my God, you're going to be worried. You're going to be changing sheets. And I sleep in T-shirts, cotton only, okay? Cotton only, because it'll be like your neck soaking wet.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's always up
here. I don't know if I want to put myself there intentionally or if I just want to.
Just keep a little fan and a little a cold drink next to you, and you'll be fine. You know, it does come with mood swings sometimes. You know what I mean? Because you're irritable when you're hot, but as soon as you're done being hot, you're gonna be cold.
Well, I think I'm irritable hot no matter what. Like,
yeah. So as soon as that's over, you won't be irritable. It's not like you run around because you had this out that, you know, you're going to be irritable. It's not like when we had our period, you know, we were irritable for a whole week. You know, so, you know, it only lasts like, oh, I'm irritable as I'm having a hot flash. As soon as it's over, you're not. you know, but it is something to think about that could save your life, because actually the organs you don't need. And I'm going to get to the biggest question. The biggest question.
Let's do it. Okay. Because
this is what I knew I wanted to live. Okay. I knew that I wanted to live. And I knew that, you know, I was having pain and different stuff, and I had to take care of this. And that's what it was. And I knew I had to get it done. My biggest question to my gynecologist was, will I still be able to have an orgasm?
Oh, good question.
Good question. Yes, you can. Yes, you will. Actually, it's even more better because you ain't worrying about all the other things that you want to have.
Right.
Because now, because you're talking about HPV, but this knocks out, you know, this knocks out a couple of those venereal diseases that you could get. I ran to him one time and I said, oh, I think I have a venereal disease. He said, but you don't have anything venereal to get venereal.
Okay.
Yeah, because the venereal diseases, that is what, you know, those organs is what is being attacked. Through the, right. Like the venereal diseases, syphilis and gonorrhea and stuff like that. Not a candidate anymore. It's not funny, but thank you. You know what I mean?
The Klingon, right?
Yeah. Yes, though. I mean, hey, I guess it has its ups and downs, you know what I mean? But if you think about it, is your life you live by design. You gotta do what it does.
You gotta do what you gotta do. And you don't know what you don't know until you get there, and you have to make a choice. And
you have to show up.
I think we have more choices than one or two, which society would lead you to believe there's only one or two. I think that you can be wise and intuitive and beautifully
flawed,
and still make the right choice for you at that moment.
Yeah,
do I think every moment is perfect? Do I think every choice is perfect? No, of course not. We're human and we're stupid.
Once you decide,
mistakes all the time, but to beat ourselves up over those mistakes, that's
where
we need to
tone it down.
We're learning, we're growing every single day. It doesn't matter if you're 70, 80, 90, 20, 15, 2. Every single day you're learning something new. And forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
Even if you make a choice that may not have been the right choice. At the time, you thought it was the right choice, and that's what you said is wrong. You know, you're living the best part of you, and you're choosing to learn in the way that you need to learn.
Exactly.
There's no right or wrong. There's no back lane to happiness. You'll get there when you get there. And I wish more people would have that conversation that it's okay. You are where you are.
That's right.
You just are where you are.
And we got this podcast. So
that we can... Whatever. You are where you are.
So we got this podcast so that we can drag a few people with us, that we can be who we are. You have to show up for yourself to be who you are.
Amen.
That's it. You know. So, Rusty, if you have any shout outs or anything, we're coming a little into time here for this evening. And if you have any final words for our audience or me.
Well, I want to first thank you for having me on your show, and you reached out to me, which was lovely. And I was really excited because I was kind of my first 2 weeks in June. I'm always in New England, so I was like, yay, I can do something in person. With COVID, I haven't done a lot in person. So thank you for having me and sharing my story and feelings with your guests. I'm hoping that it helps improve somebody's life, or at the very least pisses somebody off so much that they have to take a second look at their life.
Yeah.
And so either way, I'm hoping it's beneficial to your listeners. And thank you again for having me. Always a pleasure to meet people and share stories and talk about the real stuff. We don't have enough of that in this world, and I'm grateful for you to air the real stuff.
Thank you. And we were so happy to have you. I do have a co-host. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today. I wish he was able to be here and talk with you. You also, where can the people find you?
I make things very simple because our lives are so complicated. It's Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E .info. Rusty.info. Very easy. If you just type in my name into Google, R-U-S-T-I-E, you'll find the bazillion things about me that are probably not true, but that's okay. Just keep going with it.
Oh, man. I would say that probably not too, but it's inspiring because you're here to talk to us, and you are living proof that we can get through a lot of things, and
amen,
and shape our lives. You know, we may have a design, but we can help shape it. You know, the design was made for us, but we have to follow the path.
That's what I think. We just have to drunkenly stumble into I should have done that. And be forgiving of yourself.
Right.
You are human. You're a sack of water. You're going to be flawed. You're going to make mistakes. And that's okay. Take the pressure off. It's okay to make mistakes. Don't feel guilty about it. You're good. Yeah. Keep going. Keep moving one foot from the other. You got this. I promise.
That's right. So, everybody in my audience and my live viewers, you can reach Rusty at rusty.info. Very easy. Very easy. And we're going to stay in touch, and perhaps maybe when she comes back, or we can follow along and see where she's been. Yes. So we can learn more about the travel girl. Oh, yeah. I got to plug you in with my daughter because she's thinking about doing some traveling and some travel blogs.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Let's talk.
All right.
Have a wonderful night. Enjoy the rest of your show. Thank you all for listening.
I'll talk to you soon. All right. Thank you so much, Rusty. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Rusty McDonald. She was in here. And I think it was great. Let me get back to y'all can see me. We had a great talk with Rusty McDonald today. So you guys, you know, you just got to show up for yourself. Make sure that you show up for yourself.